What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm Kyle French. Today is March 6th. We will have album reviews for Crisis and Elzai are Jericho Jackson by Jericho Jackson and Day 69 by 6ix9ine. We really get the highs and the lows, the good, the bad, the beautiful and the ugly today. We're also going to discuss Rick Ross's health situation and give a status update on him. We have our 1997 Throwback Song of the Week as we continue our 90s Theme Song of the Week series. As always, we'll have new music announcements to close out the show. And of course, you can follow me on Instagram at HipHopEnth. That's HipHopEnth. I post more content on there, try to get stuff up daily, whether it's album reviews, just general hip-hop news, song breakdowns, whatever it might be. So you can go follow me on there, and you can contact me on there as well. That's where I'll respond more often than anything else. So let's get into it, because I want to talk about this Crisis and Elzai album. They kind of named their album kind of confusing, but it's Crisis and Elzai are Jericho Jackson by Jericho Jackson. Kind of a confusing way of just saying Crisis and Elzai are working together under the pseudonym Jericho Jackson. So this is a MC-producer duo, as Elzai is the MC, Crisis is the producer. A little background on them, Elzai is actually like low-key an OG in the game. He's actually 38, he hasn't put out a whole lot of work, but what he does have is solid. He's from Detroit, he actually got his start attending open mic nights at the Hip Hop Shop in Detroit. If you've seen 8 Mile, then you know, the scenes where Eminem's doing his battle raps and everything, that's all based off of this place called the Hip Hop Shop, where Eminem also got his start. And Elzai, I mean, he's dropping an album in 2018, not many people know about him, but he was actually around there the same time that Eminem was. And that's kind of how he got his start. He met all those guys, Royce da 5'9", Proof, Eminem, guys like that, and really jumpstarted his career. Crisis is more of a boom-bap sample producer from North Carolina. Not a lot of guys coming out of that state, but he's representing. And this is a phenomenal album. I absolutely love this album. First off, Elzai is an incredible lyricist. He's just got a knack for working clever wordplay into like serious messages. He's got diverse rhyme schemes. The flow is, he can really do a lot of things with it. He's similar to Royce da 5'9 in that sense, but I would say even better a lyricist and better subject matter than Royce da 5'9. And Elzai actually went through a spell with depression the past few years. And this is a complete like change for that. He's clearly overcome it. He's just recklessly confident on here. He's got lines where he's just got clever bars where he's just like clowning death. He says, saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I lit my trees with it. I mean, that's, you can't get any more savage than that. Just mocking death. Like, for a guy who was on the brink of, you know, whatever type of thoughts were going through his head with depression, that's quite a spin. And he also says, same song, near brushed with death and all it did was make my waves spin. Just a complete change of heart from, you know, the spot he used to be in. But my favorite thing about this album is how focused the individual track concepts are. It seems like every word, every line contributes to the narrative of the song. There's no wasted bars. So a couple examples I'll run through is like the track 17. It's pretty much a quick story about a kid just growing up too fast, immature, as it, you know, kind of insinuates the kid's 17 years old. He's starting to get into crime or just doing immoral things and stuff like that. And it's talking about he used to be a good kid on the right track at 16. And then Elzai kind of is trying to give him advice on how to turn around when he gets to 18. But before he can actually finish, the track cuts off with gunshots, implying that, you know, the kid's, you know, change of heart at 17 pretty much cost him his life. And it's just, it's a deep track, and like I said, storytelling, every bar is focused on the narrative, really great track. Another one is Friends, which is actually an acronym. He separates out FRIENDS, standing for fake relationships involving enemies needing disguises. This is my favorite song on the album. It's just a machine gun fire of anger against just turned friends, presumably when he was going through tough times. And the beat just has these keys that are just almost as sharp as the figurative knife Elzai claims to have stabbed in his back. And he just goes off. I mean, this isn't a pity party like a lot of guys do with tracks like this, where they're kind of crying for themselves, feel bad for me because, you know, oh, I got fame and all of my friends disappeared. It's not like that. Elzai is coming out with rage. It feels like this happened yesterday, It's so raw, and he's just, I'll play that one later. Amazing song. Other track themes you'll see on here are Police Brutality on Cuffin' Season, the credit roll of Thank Yous on Thank You, and an ode to his previous partner on Listen. And it just, every song, there's not much of an overall concept to this album, but every song is just so focused. And just, I love the concepts on it, and it really makes it an interesting album to listen to. Another thing that I like that he does on here is he'll have various hooks on the same song. So this really gives the track a definition, a line where you're like, okay, I associate that with this song title. And it just gives you that sense of definition. You know what that song is. But at the same time, he keeps you on your toes. He keeps you guessing. And each time the hook comes back, he may repeat like the first two lines of it. And then he's switching it up and he throws a different bar on you or switches the cadence up. And it just, it makes it entertaining. You know, you have that comfortable hook that you love and you can come back to, but it also gives you a little bit of different flavor every time it comes in. So I think that's a really cool thing he did. And it wasn't just one song. He does that on probably four or five songs on here that I noticed. And the production on here, because this is a rapper-producer project, so I gotta give Crisis his props too, a near-perfect sound bed. These aren't beats that are going to jump off the page at you and they're going to stand out and you're going to be listening to those more than Elzai's lyrical verbal gymnastics he's laying down on the tracks. But it's just a perfect bass for Elzai to rap over. Great sample pulls. And he does get to have fun with a few of these tracks like Self-Made. He interpolates this saxophone from like the mid-70s and it sounds dope. I'm going to play that song as well. Really cool beat going on there. And he just builds these little skits and outros and intros into the song, just commentary to kind of bridge everything together. So Crisis did a phenomenal job on here as well. Elzai is the standout, but Crisis gets his props too. One of the only weaknesses I noticed on here, I don't want to pile on Crisis, but he did get on the mic for one verse. And he got on the track talking about, and honestly, he sounds like Fife Dawg, which is a great compliment to him, because Fife Dawg, a legendary Tribe Called Quest MC, RIP, from 2 years ago. But Crisis just, you can tell he's inferior to Elzai. And for him to just get one verse in between just Elzai going off, it's just really noticeable that he's not on the same level. And outside of that, it's tough to find weaknesses in here. I mean, they just really put on a performance. Like I said, the songs are just extremely focused. The lyricism is top-notch. Production is right there as well. It's interesting, it's entertaining, the subject matter is great, it's diverse sonically. I mean, this really feels like this was Elzai's Illmatic, which if you know anything about Elzai, he actually put out a tribute album to Nas's Illmatic titled Illmatic in 2010, where he rapped over all the same beats that were on that classic album. And I love that album, but I just can't give him full credit when he's using, you know, already beats that people consider one of the greatest albums of all time. He's kind of already got a leg up on the competition. He does his thing, but this feels like it's more of his own. And again, Crisis has given him the beats, but it's new material, it's original, and I just think he really killed it on this thing. Easily my favorite album of the year. Best tracks, Friends, Self-Made, 17, Thank You, and Brigettes. Worst tracks, maybe that track Talking About that I mentioned. But even, I mean, that might be the worst song on here in my opinion. And it's like close to a 9 out of 10 track. This is a phenomenal album. I would recommend if you like Royce da 5'9", Nas, or Sci-Hi the Prince. I think Sci-Hi and Elzai, not only do their names kind of sound similar, which I just realized when I said it out loud, but I think their rap style is similar just in the way they flip words and they can take things and make them into double meanings. And all while not really necessarily joking around, but being serious and also giving you that edge, which is really cool. Something I think they both have in common. Overall rating, I'm giving Crisis and Elzai R. Jericho Jackson a light 9. Like I said, this is, in my opinion, the best album of the year so far. And I would definitely expect it to contend at the end of the year for a really high spot. So I'm going to play two tracks, Self-Made and Friends. So this is Self-Made and Friends from Crisis and Elzai, R. Jericho Jackson.
I'm Self-made since 12th grade, this my calling. Every jewel I drop is money out the sky falling. L is that nigga. Some of y'all forgotten when I'm jotting. My pen bleed while yours be blood clotting. Do I give them pain and give them mercy? Decisions, decisions. They say my bars set them free in all the prison divisions. This weaklings, known as foes, are likely not on the heels of this. Stand up, nigga, always thinking on his toes. Self-made since 12th grade, that's my calling. Every jewel I drop is money out the sky falling. Like it's raining on a stripper, I was eyeballing. Faces in my lap, fingers up my thigh crawling. L is that nigga. Some of y'all forgotten while I'm jotting. My pen bleed while yours be blood clotting. Word, he finna spaz me get 8. Not on my watch, it can be 7:30, then 30 minutes pass. Science and dollar signs are underneath my D-fitted. Saw a light at the end of the tunnel, I lit my tree with it. That's just how I'm blazing, nothing short of amazing. Had a brush with death and all it did was make my wave spin. Numero uno owning watches made by Hublot. Every time I step it up, y'all quick to stoop down to a new low. Either do more planning or shoot yourself in the foot with the four cannon and hit the floor landing with your standing. Self-made since 12th grade, this my calling. Every jewel I drop is money out the sky falling. L is that nigga. Some of y'all forgotten when I'm jotting. My pen bleed while you might pull up on you in the Q50 infinite and park. You an infant in shark water, marauder throwing shots against an infinite spark. Inside the boundary of a city, state, and county, who's down to put a bounty on my head before they crown me? Giving me more reasons to pour Riesling and activate the door keys in the four seasons. Where I'm from, make the news that'll interrupt the program. Some have faced the music, others caught up in the slow jam. It took away the hoop goals to know that I could show you the ropes to strangle you with them if you looking for some loopholes. What's in my bio is hazardous and it's vile. It's matches and gas chambers, a water gun in Ohio, an asteroid in the troposphere, speeding towards a hopeless mere mortal. Others appear normal through my ear portal. Y'all, I hate if next year I'm in the McLaren chair. Here and there I see I got angles, y'all don't play fair and square. All I push is mind power, screw zombies. They brainwash while my brain waves are tsunamis. The small beaches on the island with a few palm trees. It's bars for you gun toters who pursue crime sprees. Self-made since 12th grade, this my calling. Every jewel I drop is money out the sky falling.
Yeah. It's now you know the reason why I'm private. True friendships, I've been deprived it. It's painful when them knives get thrown in your back by those you run in the pack with, who's active in making the right track shift up under your feet. They fraudulent, so it's no wonder deceit is there, whether the outcome is that you want to defeat. I always felt someone who's true would be loyal to them beneath the soil. That's if you boil ramen noodles or you royal. No need for crying over spoiled milk that's spilt, cause everybody isn't built to see the error in their guilt and treat you fairly instead, so we not cut from the same cloth and they hanging by a very thin thread. I need a true friend, not the one with misleading surprises, cause that's a fake relationship involving enemies needing disguises. I need true friends, and if you feel the way I feel, throw up your two hands. Same niggas that you drank with and you blew gas, be the same niggas that'll try to knock you off your path where your shoe lands, and force you to come up with some new plans. Damn. I need true friends, not the one with misleading surprises, cause that's a fake relationship involving enemies needing disguises. I need true friends, and if you feel the way I feel, put up your two hands. Same niggas that you drink with and your blue gas, be the same niggas that'll try to knock you off your path where your shoe lands, and force you to come up with some new plans. Then, man, I don't believe it, thought he would always have my backbone, till things got ugly as the scene in Scarface when they whacked tone. We were supposed to start our black-owned business, invest in real estate, drive cars off the lot with the dealer's plate. We seen each other at our lowest, rolling that Bud Bundy, speaking on how cool it would be if we could blow this in a Ferrari or the Lotus. He knew just about my every setback and set off notice. The run-ins with the law, getting sued by the label, the fear of me not being able to stay mentally stable, the friends who were cut off like hands for stealing on an Iran civilian. They would have ruined my plans a million times before I was broken completely. If you discreetly feel the same but covered your tracks neatly, then eat me. They say what's in the dark comes to the light. Sad, he did a nigga quite bad, and so he might have a screw too loose to fix. Once after getting stoned, I thought how he went behind my back and crossed me. That's a crucifix. You know, them abusive sticks, they nailed Christ too. Gone on alleyways, we shot dice through. Memories of high school, parking lot pimping, attempting to get a number, rapping in battles, never wimping out, no doubt. I would have went to war for him. Discuss this on your block or your form. I need a true friend, not the one with misleading surprises.
That was Self-Made and Friends from Crisis and Elzai R. Jericho Jackson. The strongest of recommends. If you haven't heard the album, definitely go listen. My favorite of 2018, hands down. And now we are going to flip the script completely, go to the polar opposite, and we are going to talk about Day 69 by 6ix9ine, Tekashi 6ix9ine, whatever you want to call him. New York hardcore trap rapper. You probably have seen pictures of him. Rainbow hair, rainbow teeth, tons of face tats. You probably thought he was a joke, some type of meme. I thought so when I first saw him. Then I found out he's making real music, and somehow he's out here gaining attention. People are listening to him, and he's gained enough popularity that this is like somewhat of a major release. This was probably the most talked about album that released last week. A little background on 6ix9ine. He used to be in a group with Trippie Redd, Scum Gang, which you'll hear him yell about a billion times on this album. Scum, S-C-U-M, standing for Society Can't Understand Me. Him and Trippie Redd used to be kind of a duo, not a duo, they didn't rap together or anything, but it's kind of like a collective. Since I believe Trippie has left, which is probably the best decision for him. And this guy, 6ix9ine, has all type of charges hanging over his head that are really shady, really suspect. Multiple like child molestation charges, just rape charges coming forward. By all accounts that I've heard and from what I can gather, this guy is the scum of the earth. And his music, though, we try to separate character from music, but his music is not much better. I mean, that's just the straightforward truth. He comes with this crazy, aggressive, guttural screaming on every song. And I won't lie, that multiplied with some crazy hot beats make for some of the hardest slappers that you've ever heard. I mean, this stuff is off the handle, adrenaline-packed, energy, supercharged, however you want to describe it. It's hard to take in. Like, I'm going to play one of the songs later, and you got to be prepared for when this guy comes on, because it's so out of hand and aggressive. He just has this raspy voice, and it's murder rap. I mean, all the lyrics on here are nothing positive. It's all hypersexual, violent, criminal, murder lyrics. Some of it is like really hard to stomach. And also the fact that he's trying to deny these like charges that I aforementioned that are being brought forward. And he's saying some stuff that pretty much is admitting to those charges. I know music is separate from, you know, your actual life. You can play a character. You can express yourself in a thousand different ways. And you can't obviously get like tried for it in a court. But I'm just saying, if it was me, I would not be talking about how I'm passing girls around to various members of my crew and just doing violent, unconsenting things with them when you have these charges hanging over your head. So maybe not the smartest guy in the rap business here. And this style definitely is not really for me, so I'll try to look at this fairly, but the lyrics are a huge turnoff. The subject matter is horrible. He just has nothing really to say. He's extremely repetitive. And that's the thing. He's repetitive. So even if you were to like his style, even if you did really enjoy this in-your-face, screaming, like, metal-like rap, which, like I said, it has incredible hype potential. I will not lie. But it's the same thing on every song. He's a one-trick pony. He does the same thing on every verse, on every hook. He's just screaming at the top of his lungs. I mean, if you think Meek Mill screams, he's whispering compared to what 6ix9ine does on a track. And he talks about the same exact topics, the same subjects. Like I said, just hypersexual stuff or like killing people and crime and repping gangs and stuff. It's literally the same every song. And he even actually, on the track Cuda, he basically interpolates the hook from Gummo as his verse. So it's a 27-minute album, and there's points where he had to literally repeat the same exact words he said on a previous song. And I don't know. It's hard to find him appealing, and even if you do, I feel like you'd get bored after like 5-10 minutes. On the bright side, most of these tracks are under 3 minutes. A lot of them are even under 2 minutes. The whole album is only like 25-ish minutes long, maybe a little bit longer. And another thing I noticed is he can't really mesh with any features on here. You got Young Thug, Fetty Wap, A Boogie With A Hoodie, a couple, you know, guys coming up in the industry who actually kind of shine compared to 6ix9ine. And it's impossible for them to exist on the same track because of what the style 6ix9ine uses, it's so sonically different in every way that there's no chemistry. It feels like these guys' verses were copy and pasted in. It doesn't sound like they were working in the same studio together. It sounds like Young Thug and these other guys just pulled up a file on their computer, emailed it to him, and he pasted it into the track, because there's just no similarities at all. What I will say is the production is solid. There are multiple beats on here. Billy and Gummo, just insanely hyped, bursting with adrenaline. And 6ix9ine style works perfectly on these tracks. So even though I'm not a big fan of what he does, I will have to admit that the style he's going for, he definitely kills it on those two songs. And as grotesque as the lyrics might be, they go hard. And I could see a lot of people just slapping them. And two other beats I would want to mention are the production on Chocolate and Dewey. Chocolate specifically has these really cool, like, warped synths and this just weird, like, bubbling, just kinetic energy about it. And both those instrumentals, I found myself trying to just tune out 6ix9ine and listen to them, because they were actually really interesting. You could have put no one on that track, and I would have definitely listened to it multiple times. It was that intriguing. It actually reminded me of a track that MF Doom produced. It's on one of his albums. The track's titled Radon. And both those songs actually, like, had similarities, I thought, and reminded me of this track, Radon. And MF Doom's one of the greatest producers of all time. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But that's definitely the highlight of this album. It's not 6ix9ine, that's for sure. And I don't even understand these song titles. I mean, Kuda, Kiki, Mookie, Bubba, Gummo, Dewey. I mean, this is stuff, I mean, maybe he just went to, like, his local nursery, and the first five words that a newborn child said, he just made those the names of his songs. I'm not sure, but those aren't words as far as I know. So, I don't know. If you really enjoy his style, more power to you. I won't lie. It has incredible ceiling for energy and adrenaline and just hype appeal. But I'm just not really feeling it. I'm going to say best tracks, Billy, Kuda, and Gummo. Worst tracks, pretty much everything else. Take your pick. And I would recommend, if you like Lil Pump, Smoke Perp, or Trippy Red. Overall rating, you know, the guy's name is 6ix9ine. His album is titled Day 69. So I'm going to throw him an on point 3.69 out of 10. It just has to be done. No strong 3, like 4, nothing. Exactly a 3.69 out of 10. No higher, no lower. That's what Tekashi 6ix9ine gets from the hip-hop enthusiast for his debut effort here. And I will play one song. I know I usually play two, but I mean, everything you need to hear from him can be encapsulated into 1 minute. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play the opening track, Billy, which I think is the best song. And like I said, gives you everything you need to know about 6ix9ine. So this is Billy by 6ix9ine from his album Day 69. Please prepare yourself.
Trey Wayne, these niggas said it hurt me, I ain't hurt you. Get the fuck up out my fucking face before I murder you. Bitch niggas always jacking block, but I know they fool. Whole squad full of fucking killers, I'm a killer too. Selling shots, 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 nigga. Everybody get pop, 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 nigga. The big ol' rah, 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 nigga. We selling shots, 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 nigga. Hey, 6ix9ine this and 6ix9ine that. Niggas on my dick and on my yak. These niggas looking for me, you can hit my jack. I done drop my address and know where 6ix9ine at. I'll flunk ya, lie to his back like Ibaka. Baka, not nice with the fucking topper. Pop him, scope on the nigga who shot ya. Drop him, somebody call his fucking doctor. Think I've been a pussy, bet that she get gushy gushy. She want the whole game, but then all in her pussy. I want the drip drip while I get my dick licked. Lil' sick bitch, lick it on my dick tip. She a freak, ho, fuck her, she on beast mode. On your back, put your hands on your knees, ho. I'm on beast mode, shoot you through your peephole. Said he won't smoke, I don't really see it, though. These niggas said it hurt me, I ain't hurt you. Get the fuck up on my phone.
So that is 6ix9ine and his track Billy. If that was your first experience listening to 6ix9ine, I'm sure it was some type of experience. It's almost impossible to describe to people without playing his songs who he is and what he does, because it's just so wild and off the hook and aggressive and supercharged and just all up in your face. I called it murder rap. I don't think I'm wrong. Like, that's pretty much the gist of everything he talked about. So, yeah, that's 6ix9ine, and we're going to move on because I've kind of had enough of him. If you like that song, go listen to the album. I don't know what to tell you, but I wouldn't really recommend it. So I do want to talk about Rick Ross, though, because my man Rick Ross, Rosé, the MMG owner, the boss man, the bearded one, he's had some serious health scares recently. Last Thursday, he was found unconscious in his home, apparently like foaming at the mouth, was obviously rushed to a hospital, and there were reports that he was on life support with machines operating his heart and lungs. Very scary stuff. Later, those rumors were kind of denied by people close to him and artists on the MMG label that went to visit him. But either way, a serious situation where he was apparently in critical condition. And it's kind of crazy because you'd think he's in a healthy state right now since dropping like over 100 pounds in the past year plus, which you would think makes him healthier, but I don't know what's going on in his every day-to-day life. It now looks like he's going to be just fine. He's moved back to his home. He's still being treated there, and they'll look after him for probably you know, the next few weeks and stuff, monitor everything. But it looks like he'll be just fine. We're not going to lose him. But it just got me thinking, like, if we did, because he's not, like, the greatest artist of our generation, but he is a major part of the hip-hop industry. You'd never think of him, like, as an elite rapper or just a guy you have to listen to. But on the business side of things and as an executive, he's been a really respectable guy and huge in the community and the industry. I mean, in an era where label owners and executives are basically greedy, selfish snakes, basically like enslaving their artists. I mean, just see guys like Birdman or Diddy and the contracts they've locked guys into and won't let them leave. And they get huge cuts of money when their artists get a minimal cut and they're doing all the work. I mean, people are saying with all the stuff that's going on in the NCAA that's the worst run organization in the world. The way that record labels are set up is extremely shady as well and would have to contend. But either way, Rick Ross has not done that. I mean, he's supported his artists. I can't remember him having too many disputes with guys, whether it's over contracts or money or albums or treatment, marketing, whatever it is. It just seems like he's always there for his guys. And a great example is Meek Mill. I mean, he defended that guy till death. Meek's been in and out of trouble with the law and potentially serving sentences. He's been in and out of jail. And Ross has stuck by his side 100%. You know, when it would be easy for him to just say, this guy might go to jail for a long time, he's not going to make me any money, I'm just going to get rid of him or just alienate myself from him. But no, he stuck right by him. And I think that's a respectable move by him. And he's also stood up for guys who aren't even on his label. Last year on his album, Rather You Than Me, he had a track called Idols Become Rivals, where he's basically attacking Birdman for all of his shady business moves and being a contract bully and just holding Lil Wayne and the Carter 5 captive for years now. And so he's speaking out against pretty much his peers. And that's what he's saying. He used to look up to these guys. Now they're his rivals, and he's realizing they're not the guys he thought they once were. And even outside of, you know, this business stuff that I'm talking about, I think he is an underrated rapper. He's got a lot of enjoyable albums, a bunch of memorable guest verses. I really think that if he did pass, despite not being like the biggest name in the game or a quote-unquote legend, I think there'd be a tremendous outpouring of just grief and sorrow over the loss of Rick Ross. I mean, just look at how connected he is. I can't think of a big name, past or present, that he hasn't worked with. He's really part of just the inner circle of hip-hop icons and like just industry movers at this point, even if he's not one of the greatest artists. So that's just kind of what I've been thinking about recently with his health and even his life being up in the air the past few days. Like I said, it looks like he'll be fine, back in his home. Should be cool from here on out. But either way, pray for Rick Ross and free Meek Mill, as always, because we need MMG at full strength. moving forward as one of the better labels, even though you might not think of them that way, in the rap game today. You know, besides Dreamville and TDE, I think you could make a case for them. Odd Future, I guess, would also be probably ahead of them. But outside of that, I mean, they're right there. So pray for Rick Ross. And speaking of, you know, larger built men, we got to move on to our 1997 throwback song of the week. And I couldn't go through the whole decade of the 90s without throwing a Biggie song on there. Ready to Die from 94 is definitely his better album. But when you drop the same years, Illmatic and Nas, I couldn't play it for 94 Biggie. So I had to choose one from Life After Death, his 1997 double album. And I'm rolling with the classic Hypnotize, just a groovy, dancey beat that you might not expect Biggie to get on, but that was just the way Diddy operated. He wanted guys on more glitzy production, and Biggie found a way to just kill it, no matter what the beat was. I mean, I know he wasn't happy when he had to do Juicy, probably the same when Diddy sauced him, the Hypnotize beat, but I mean, he's just such a good technical rapper. Just lyrically, the flow, the delivery, the personality, the voice, everything just comes together perfectly for him. So 1997 throwback song of the week, Gotta Be Hypnotized by B.I.G., the Notorious B.I.G. So I'm going to throw that on and let you guys enjoy, and we'll just reminisce as we continue our trip through the decade of the 90s with 1998 coming up next week. But this is 1997 Hypnotized by Biggie.
Sicker than your average, pop a twist, cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink, pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, if they head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us, talk go through us. Girls walk to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pump. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace, keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus piece, with my peace. Packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? Them niggas ride dicks. Frank White push the stick. Called the Lexus LX 4.5. Bulletproof glass tints if I want some ass. Gon' blast squeeze first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and broads, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars. I still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment, no for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay true. Richer than richer, so you niggas come and get me.
Come on. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run. I know you sick of this name brand. Nigga with flows, girl, say he's sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a pen. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rugs, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave that ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Romy. Lucky they don't owe me, where to say, show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes.
Goat stuff right there from Notorious B.I.G. It really does be hypnotizing people sometimes with the lyrical wizardry and just the overall swagger persona that he takes on the mic. It's awesome. I mean, not much more for me to say. Everybody knows B.I.G. is a legend. So we're going to move on, close off the episode with some new music announcements. We'll start off with last Friday, a couple days ago, March 2nd, we got No News Is Good News by Fonte. He's collaborated with The Roots multiple times in the past, and he definitely carries that vibe with him on this project, but spins it in his own way. I love it so far. I've listened to it a couple times. Really good stuff. Planet by Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne kind of doing his thing. The fast flows, kind of songs all over the place. Spiritual Conversations, an EP from Mozzie. Pretty good stuff there. The Widow's Son, Apathy. Your just traditional lyricist, boom-bap style stuff. Memories Don't Die by Tory Lanez. More of an R&B album, but he does do some rapping on there. A couple cool songs. And You're Doing Good by Larry June, which I am yet to check out. And then looking forward, next week, March 9th, or actually I should say March 5th, because Puya dropped midweek with his album 5-5. I still have not listened to it, so I don't really have any comments yet. But then on actual March 9th, because most albums drop on a Friday, we will be getting Ray Ray from Summerhill by YFN Lucci, the Lil Boat 2 sequel from Lil Yachty. That should be exciting. And August Green by August Green, which is a collective including Common, Kareem Riggins, and Robert Glasper. Whenever Common's on something, you know it's going to have that social twinge, really soulful stuff. So we'll see what we get there. I'm excited. But I say I'm excited every week, so I don't know really what that means anymore. But possibly some good music coming out. I might have to talk about Lil Boat 2 by Lil Yachty. Who knows? Maybe he'll bounce back from Teenage Emotions. A lot of people loved Lil Boat and didn't care for his debut album, so we'll see where this leaves us. I think this is going to be a big turning point to either propel Yachty's career forward or really start him sliding downhill and moving towards the dead end of his young career, but we'll see. I'm not going to put him in his tomb quite yet. And then I'm going to look forward just a little bit. We usually don't go 2 weeks in advance, but just a couple albums I'm really amped about are Prime 2 coming out March 16th, and then we're getting that Czarface Doom project March 30th. So some really top-notch stuff that I have high expectations for coming out in the end of March. Maybe they'll be able to rival the Jericho Jackson album we talked about earlier today. Who knows? But just keep an eye out for those and keep those on your radar. You're not going to want to miss those. And that's pretty much a wrap for the Hip Hop Enthusiast podcast today. As always, this is your host, Kyle French, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. Thank you for listening, guys. Go follow me on Instagram at HipHopEnth, and I will see you guys next week for some more album reviews, breakdown, analysis, and our 1998 Throwback Song of the Week. So come back next week for that. And you can download episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and also on whus.org/talk. UConn Student Union hosting me over here. Shout out to them. So I'll see you guys next week. Peace.